This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Football Monday. Was it possible the Bills would lose to the Baltimore Ravens on the road, a team that wins all the time, especially at home in primetime where they've been dominant? Sure. 35-10, a Bills team that never loses like that. I mean, much to their credit, they've set an NFL record in consecutive games without a loss of at least 7 points. It's like, it's always the same movies, the same three movies with me, Bulldog, as you know. But Pleasantville, like, things are changing in the town, and the basketball team lost. And somebody at the barbershop says something like, oh, you can't win them all. And the mayor walks in, he's like, we do win them all. We're Pleasantville. I mean, we literally never lose. What is happening here? Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. My first question, Sal, is to what extent did this game last night make sense? With, of course, the injuries were piling up, but the Bills seemed so immune to any difficulty on the defensive side, so efficient, so effective. And then last night comes along and, oh yeah, these guys are hurt, and it makes sense that you would have problems sometimes, but that's what I'm trying to, you know, figure out the balance here today is just, okay, well, it should be harder when you're down guys like the Bills have been, but maybe also it shouldn't have been that bad.
Right. I mean, first thing is I'm thinking about, man, I talked on my show today about how this game last night reminded me of Super Bowl years, Monday night games in Kansas City and Pittsburgh, right? I mean, just, man, if you're a good team and you go there and you just get it handed to you, right? Like, wow, just a terrible night and a really loud environment and everybody's jacked up. And that's what it was last night. And of course, I wasn't covering those teams, but kind of gave me that feeling a little bit, being a little bit closer to it now. Look, I think you bring up good points, Mike. I think what happened here was, when it's related to the backups and the injuries, it was the perfect combination, or anti that for the Bills case here, of bad matchup and teams seeing them on film for a few weeks, right? Like, there's a body of work now the Bills have put out there with the guys that they have. Remember last week, I was very concerned about the coverage of the linebackers. That was my concern against the Jags. Didn't really show up. Well, the Ravens really took advantage of that. I mean, there were guys running free, you know, a couple times. It wasn't like Lamar had this amazing night, but there was nobody near anybody when they were throwing the second or, you know, into the third level there on a couple of intermediate routes. And then Dorian Williams just, you know, he could not hang with Justice Hill. That was just a really bad matchup. So they took advantage of that. But at the same time, the Bills are not built to be a team to stop a physical run offense. Now, they have some players that could be good run defenders, and Ed Oliver and, you know, Daquan Jones, that's fine. They are built in 2024 to stop the teams from passing against them. We know that. We talked about it. So this is a bad matchup for them, and it just went downhill from the very beginning, considering all of that put together.
How hard, if at all, would you want to be on the Bills not kind of seeing that train coming, if you will? I don't know what they could have done. Their personnel are their personnel, but and it's, of course, you know, impacted heavily by the injuries that they've got at linebacker and in the on the back end. Should they have started the game with three linebackers? I heard Tasker and Brownie today talking about extra linemen. Like, is there, or, you know, should they have pivoted faster, or maybe even to start the game?
Maybe. Could certainly make an argument given the hindsight, right? No doubt about that. But then you're putting yourself also in a different position as well to run the, you know, defending Lamar Jackson and guys running around. So it's just a catch 22. There's no doubt. They have played base before against the Ravens. This is not new. They played base against them in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and it was a really effective job. You know, they went to that personnel. And they went to it when the Ravens went with certain personnel on the field. They're just so big and heavy, it's tough to defend when you have the light defenders in the box. It's the same thing the Bills have taken advantage of with other teams. And to give the Ravens credit, like from the get-go, the very first play, I heard you talking about Jeff Schwartz breaking it down. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the breakdown, but I know what happened, so I can tell you exactly what he probably was talking about. And the trap on Ed Oliver. They let Oliver run upfield. They trapped him, and they didn't want him to wreck the game and said, we're going to let you as a lighter defender, smaller defender, run upfield and penetrate, and then we're just going to, you know, blast you right there and use our heavy personnel to, you know, move the line of scrimmage. And then from there, guys, there's also just technique and play issues. Yes, they had a good game plan, and the Bills didn't match that, but you also have to be better at making your assignments and one-on-one, and there's only so much a coach can also do to put you in a position. I mean, after the game, I don't know how much he was just taking it on himself, because that's what players do sometimes, but like Terrell Bernard told me on the very first play, it was on him for not getting people lined up correctly or communication issues, and that's just something that you can't have happen. Because, you know, any team could take advantage of that, but especially against a team like Baltimore is going to hand it off to Derrick Henry right there on a perfect play call. If you have communication issues or alignment issues, you're done from the beginning there.
Yeah, that video is pretty cool. Like, anybody who loves football loves, you could take any play and just show all the details in it. It's wonderful. And Jeff Schwartz on that first play, you mentioned Oliver getting trapped there. The very subtle, the kinds of things you would just never think of or notice just watching game at regular speed with the usual camera angle, the movement of the lineman, the right guard all the way to the left tackle, that first move to get the Bills defensive line and the linebackers to lean like the ball's going to their right, and instead it's Henry to his right, and you've got Ricard the fullback, and then Andrews making two big blocks, and he is gone. Henry has got to be incredible from field level. Like, who's that big that no DB can't run down in, you know, 50, 60 yards?
It is amazing. And, you know, it's been amazing like that for a few years, but especially at his age, right? He's getting older. He's got a lot of wear and tear. Guys run the ball a lot. He's taking a lot of beatings and physical abuse to his body, and yet he's still running away from people at his size. It truly is remarkable, you know? And they are different. They're unique. We talked about that. You guys have talked about that. Their roster construction is different. And, you know, there's a lot today that I've heard fans and media talk about, well, you know, that's the roster construction and how you go about it and look what they're doing, and maybe that's the way. But I don't know. I mean, I think that it at the end of the day, I still think it's better to construct your roster to be able to throw the ball, defend the pass a little bit better, and it's going to show up that you're not going to be able to do that as much against a team like that. But I think they're also limited in some things they can do, and that's why they've lost two games so far, right? So it was a tough matchup. It was a tough night, tough environment. And with the backup players they had playing, who, you know, Baltimore's had a chance to see them on film and be ready for them, I just think it was the perfect storm for, you know, the Ravens against the Bills.
Sal, not surprisingly, a lot of attention on the failed trick play when it looked and felt like perhaps the Bills were about to really get back in the game. 21-10, the start to the third quarter was good for them. And, you know, then that egg gets laid and it just, you know, that was the end of that, it seemed. And I don't know if the Bills defense would have held up from there anyways, but, you know, they did get a couple of stops and get the ball back for them, and then that happened. So certainly want to hear your thoughts on it, but I know Joe Brady has just recently spoken to the media to explain or talk about that play in addition to, you know, other issues too. Can you let everyone know what was said by Brady and or McDermott, if you'd like, please?
Yeah, so I'll start with what they said, then I'll give you my thoughts. So last night, Sean McDermott said right away in the press conference, it's a play that Joe Brady would like back, and it's also a play that he would like back, a play call. So you could tell right away McDermott was obviously not happy with that play call in that situation, design, whatever. Joe Brady took full accountability today, guys. He said it was a bad play call, and he said he's got to be better than that. He said it was a bad play call at the bad time. It's a bad design. Just everything about it was bad. He just talked about being better a lot of different ways. A couple of things he talked about, getting the ball more, you know, getting Curtis Samuel on the field more, getting the ball in his hands more. Like, he said, I have to be better several times. Joe Brady was very accountable about it today, but specifically on that call, he was, you know, very, I think, honest and forthright saying that I blew it, essentially. And he did from, I think, a couple different standpoints. Look, I think that because it didn't work, you could definitely make the argument about the timing was bad. No doubt. I think the timing was bad. I don't think it was the right time to do the high-risk, high-reward type of play when you actually were grinding your way into the game. If you keep grinding and keep grinding, maybe you do make a one-score game out of it here. They were close to being able to do that with a touchdown or a field goal. So I definitely think that is the case. The thing that bothered me the most about anything was just simply the design. Look, I mean, when I'm on the field and the other team, and this has happened over the years, when the other team takes the quarterback and puts him out wide and puts a wide receiver or running back, you know, under center, you know, in shotgun, I mean, basically you can hear the Bills sideline already alerted. And they're like, okay, here we go. Like, watch this, watch that. Like, everybody knows something's going on. Everybody knows something's happening. It's like, all right, what are your options here? What's the quarterback going to do? Are you going to get it to him? He's probably not going to be involved in the play. And if he is, okay, from out there, let him be involved in the play. And if not, then you're just going to defend the run here with somebody who's not normally, you know, taking a snap. So I think just from the get-go for me, the play design was not good. I mean, you put Josh Allen out wide. All you did was tell the Baltimore Ravens, something weird is happening here, and sure enough, they're going to take an opportunity to just pretty much tee off on Allen, which they did. And fortunately, although McDermott said he is sore today, he'll be okay.
Was the play there, just to follow up? You know, if he gets rid of the ball a half second earlier, what did he have, Hollins?
That's what it looked like. I don't even know if it was, to be honest with you. I don't even know if the play was there, okay. Maybe. You know, there's been some debate. I know Jeremy and Joe were debating this morning if maybe Allen wasn't even supposed to throw the ball. Maybe it was just a simple end around to him. I mean, maybe something, and then he just decided to stop. I don't know. Brady didn't go into more detail about that. I don't know if the play was there. Something interesting Brady said, though, too, which I appreciate, you know, his, you know, digging into it a little bit more, is he said, even if he has the play call, you know, which obviously he goes back and says it wasn't a good play call, he noticed, you know, once you notice that they have a defensive substitution that they weren't anticipating and Van Noy now is on the field, they should have got out of it, and they didn't get out of it. So, and I have to go back and listen. I just got through listening to him, guys, but he basically said something to the effect of, you know, once they notice their defensive personnel, he should have been better at even getting out of it and killing the play right there. They didn't do that part of it either. So there was a lot that went wrong in that play from the timing of it, which I don't agree with, but I could, hey, you know, if it works, wow, what a great play.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly from the design more than anything to me was why, you know, it failed from the beginning.
Yeah. In his defense, Eric Wood made, I think, a good point last hour with us, Sal. Said, like, you know, yeah, they had just scored on their first possession of the third quarter, but it was that incredible play by Allen rolling to the sideline to Shakir, really a busted play. And then, you know, Ty Johnson, to his credit and their credit, they blocked it up and he outran everybody to the pylon. But it's not like they had gained their footing. You know what I mean? It's not like they were churning out yards and moving the chains or anything. That was second and seven. So, yeah, I mean, it came at a moment where you thought they had some life, but it's not like they were on track or anything. So there's that. My looking at the play, Hollins, I would think, has to be the target. There are two Ravens back there, but there's room where, like, if Hollins keeps running to the corner of the end zone and Allen can get the ball there, there's a chance that it's open. But it was not they weren't fooled. They had people back there with Mac Hollins. So, you know, I wouldn't say there was a 0% chance the play could have worked, but it was hardly, you know, like, oh, they didn't see that coming. Like, they were right on top of everything.
I mean, I think you have a better chance, to be quite honest. Now, he's not going to throw the ball as well, probably, but you probably have a better chance of having Josh take a snap and give it to a receiver who throws the ball. Because once the receiver gets it, people come up. But with the quarterback there, again, like I said, you right. See that, you're like, hey, we better stay back here. This guy gets the ball, they're probably throwing it, right? I mean, like, you're not fooling anybody. Like you said, what was the trick to the trick play, I guess, is the question. There's no trick. There's no fooling anyone
right.
When they see the quarterback doing that. Like I said, if when you're ever on the field, when you see something like that, everybody starts talking. Everybody's communicating. Hey, be aware, look right here. You know, and you have this alert that goes on. So I'm sure from the beginning that was the case, you know. No, they weren't doing that, like you said, about, you know, necessarily getting – they weren't moving the ball as well as they had been accustomed to the last few weeks. One thing Joe Brady said today was also that McDermott said they did, even with the deficit, they probably got away from the run a little bit too early. Like, yeah, you know, you have to change your game plan a little, but it was probably even too early to get away from the run because they had been doing some decent things with the run game. He said that was another area where he talked with his staff. You know, he said that him and Joe said that they talked a lot today about this, about the trick play. the right time, the design, talked a lot about the game plan. And these are things you go over every week. But I will tell you guys, it just – Sean was, I think, particularly upset a couple of times at, you know, these kinds of things last night, whether it seemed like in the post game or even on the sidelines during the game. After there was a defensive issue, a substitution issue, they had 10 guys in the field, they had to burn a timeout. Like, these are things that did not make him happy last night for sure.
Understandably. What else is there today on the injury front?
So Taylor Rapp's in concussion protocol. We'll find out, you know, a little bit more how he progresses throughout the week. You know, obviously, you know, that was a very, very physical game, as you guys can imagine, and everybody knows by playing the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, you know, Khalil Shakir got, you know, his ankle, he injured his ankle early in the game. And I do think that was a pretty big part of the game plan being altered, guys, and, or at least what they were able to do or not do, because he just wasn't the same. I mean, he fought through it, and McDermott even said that today. He fought through it. He was working it out on the sidelines. Just never seemed the same to me when he went back in the game and wasn't able to do normally what he's able to do. But give the Ravens credit. They did a great job of – had a great game plan on him to shut him down. They were very physical from the get-go. Marlon Humphrey, then they were physical on Dalton Kincaid. There was a cheap shot there, too, and then down the field, you know, jacking him up a little bit. I mean, every time they had a chance, you know, the Bills were getting hit. And then he did say Josh is sore, but he'll be okay. Khalil's fighting through the ankle injury. They're going to monitor it this week. They're taking it day by day right now. Rapid concussion protocol. And he did say that Terrell Bernard is expected to practice at some point this week. Not a surprise. He practiced last week. But more of a question mark on whether or not Taron Johnson will practice this week. So we'll find out more on Wednesday when they go out there.
How shook do you think they'll be? I mean, I know Houston, Joe Mixon is there, but it's not, you know, they don't have a 300-pound fullback. The quarterback's not as much of a threat with his feet as Jackson, who is, really. So, you know, different matchup. But I wonder, with the struggles they had and pivoting to Morrow, like, I don't know, are they – do you think they're shook by Lewis being so overmatched and Ingram, I guess, to an extent?
No, I don't, Bulldog. And because I think they have faith in, you know, generally going out there on a Sunday or Monday night or whatever and with the personnel they've had, and it's been good for them. It's worked for them. This was a tough matchup for them, no doubt. Maybe they'll think a little bit more about, you know, do we need, you know, a little bit more in special situations if they, you know, it's a second and four and, you know, a team goes a little heavier personnel. Do they want to do that? Maybe have a little bit more matchup to a team here or a team there. But most teams aren't going to bring what, you know, the Baltimore Ravens bring to the table with Ricard and Derrick Henry, of course, right? So I don't think they're shook at all. You know, listen, one of the things that I've been very impressed with over 8 years, I remember back the first year when the Bills made the playoffs and broke the drought, I remember saying how, like, I'm just impressed at the consistency of how – this team under this coach goes about their business, whether they win or lose. They're pretty consistent every day. And that approach has really served them well. The last time they lost, as you guys know, by this wide a margin, was actually 26 points. It was 41-15 at home November 21st, 2001 to the Indianapolis Colts. You guys know that that was the last time they lost by more than one score. Do you know what happened the next week? Do you remember that?
All I know is that they didn't lose by more than 6 points, thus starting the streak. I'm guessing they won maybe impressively.
But, Mike, it wasn't just that they won impressively. It literally was 4 days later they went to New Orleans for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And 4 days later after that loss, they, you know, just beat the heck out of the New Orleans Saints, who were banged up at the time and weren't the same team. But that's just an indication, I think, of, you know, they'll get back to, you know, what they – I think, you know, have faith in and trust in. Could there be some changes here or there, some tweaks? There's no doubt about it. But one thing that was very evident from the locker room last night, talking with all the players, is that, you know, they're very honest and accountable on when these things happen. This is not a, we're going to burn the tape and bury it and never watch it. They don't do that. They say, we have to watch it. We have to be honest with each other, accountable to each other, sometimes have tough conversations. And I appreciate that because I think that's served them well over the years when they've had a loss and bounced back.
Trevor Siemian, right. The Saints.
Right.
I had to look that up. Okay, Sal. Nice talking to you. And we'll connect again on Wednesday, I guess.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Did you watch the baseball today? Did you see the
– Yes.
Pretty we were watching them. Yes, the eighth inning on of that first game of the doubleheader was bonkers.
reminded me of Georgia, Alabama. You know, the the game like that.
I watched some of that Saturday night and was shocked to find out that it got close. It looked like the Georgia quarterback was in so tough, just bad interceptions, and that the game was just going to be a joke. But it was not.
No, they did a nice job. That was back and forth, end of the game, and obviously a couple plays made at the end by Alabama for sure. But fun baseball today for sure.
Thanks, Sal.
All right, Sal, thanks. We'll catch up. Yep, there's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
There were a couple of coaching decisions, the decisions to punt in this game in the first half, that I know some fans were bothered by. There's that. I want to make sure I take this game as seriously as it's right to, because there's a lot of bad matchup, you know, and injuries. Like I said when we started with Sal, like, it kind of made sense, but you did get trucked. Like, that's just not something we've seen the Bills, you know, succumb to. Like, we're talking about this incredible streak that just ended. 44 games, was it? Ultimately, I don't know the exact number, without a more than 6-point loss. So, I don't know. I know it's a long season, and it's easy to overreact. We had that last week where I wanted to be, like, just kind of real about, well, this was an amazing win, but come on, it's not going to be like this all the time. And instead, you didn't just get different. You got the opposite last night. So it doesn't feel great. 803-0550 for your calls. Football Monday on WGR continues after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Defense did a good job getting us the ball back and getting it to a potential 2-score game, and must go down and try to get points. And so those are the situations that, it's not that I just want it back, but I just got to be better in those situations. And there's no one to blame but myself. Again, not just because of the results of the play, like, go to the Jacksonville game. There's times there was a touchdown that I didn't like the play call. And so I got to continue to improve and get better.
Well, that isn't any fun. Come on, Joe Brady. Blame others.
Blame your players.
Blame the players, like
Doug Peterson. Right.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. Guys,
I can only do so much.
The players have to execute.
I mean, I'm over here in my visor. Sorry. I can't stand Doug Peterson.
Really?
I hate him.
I needed this last week, before last week.
You don't remember?
No.
Get off my porch, vacuum cleaner salesman, Doug Peterson, and your stupid visor, and your, like, he sucks.
I blocked it out.
Yeah. It's because the Bills won by so much. It's just water under the...
The proverbial bridge.
Damn.
Get ready. Yeah. Get ready on D'Amico Ryans.
Oh.
It can't just be Diggs.
I know. I like him.
Can't just be Diggs.
I like Stroud. I like D'Amico Ryans. I like Stroud. I like Diggs. I'm not mad at Diggs. I guess a little. I mean, I don't know. He could have caught that ball against Kansas City. That would have been pretty great. But, like, other than that, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not. You know, it was good. The getting was good.
More water under the bridge.
Yep. Yep.
Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Here's Rex next. Hi, Rex.
Hello, gentlemen. My only statement is I'm not in panic mode. Bills are 3-1. I would have taken this all day, every day at the beginning of the year. My concern is, and we keep going back to this, the Bills have gone how many games and never lost by more than 6 points. But the fact is, the last time we lost by 6 points, it was Indianapolis, and they – ran the ball straight down our throat because they're a big physical team, 200-plus yards. Yesterday, primetime, it's the same thing. I think that we'll probably win our division, but I think going forward, if you're talking big picture, it's a concern because we know we keep the safeties deep and we want everything in front of us that allows you to every single game be within 6 points. But when somebody mans up and they physical and they go right down our throat, we have no answer for them. Every time, not every time, because it's two times, obviously, in a long time. But
right. In four
every
seasons.
Time those guys get to that game plan and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do to the Bills. We're done. We always know we have good safeties. We always know we keep everything in front of us. We always know what our defensive game plan is. But when somebody says, hey, you know what, we're not going to throw the ball dink and dunk and going down the field, we're just going to put it down your throat, we get beat by 25 or 30 every time.
I mean, that's a little bit of a leap, isn't it?
I mean, every time. It's twice in four years. So, I mean, there are definitely, and you've highlighted them, similarities between the last time this happened and the style of the two teams that did it. But to say it's every time, I'm sure there have been plenty of games in there in the, you know, three plus seasons that have unfolded since that happened where teams have wanted to run it and it wasn't enough.
How about week one? I mean, even into the second half against Arizona, the Cardinals still wanted to run between the tackles. They just couldn't do it. It's of course, if you're good at it, you know, like the Ravens, it is their brand. And I guess maybe you could say that about Jonathan Taylor 3 years ago, too, and certain other teams. But there are others of those teams, and they have not succeeded at all doing that. I don't disagree that it's, relatively speaking, a problem area. I mean, I think that definitely can be said, especially after that game. I mean, what do you want against the Ravens? You want to put the pressure on Jackson to complete passes down the field. Four completions last night to non-running backs in the whole game, one to Likely. Flowers was 1 for 10. Aguilar had one catch, and there was one other one. Like, that's just not doing that. That is not right. Putting them into that box.
Right. You need a specific, what will you need, you know, is the perfect storm of the game unfolding, like that it works well enough that you get in front and then you can just keep doing it. Like that's the thing. I mean, the way the Bills have built themselves here, I think it's almost nuts to complain about how they have built their defense and like philosophically what they try to do, like the caller is saying. Like, yes, in a specific matchup like this, if you can't drag them out of it, you are going to be in trouble. They get a lead on you, and they're going to be able to keep going, and your offense is struggling, and, you know, so it's 21-3, and it's pretty sideways. You know, what you have to do is make a team pay. Like, why do the Bills, why do teams play the Bills the way they play the Bills? They want you to have to go 12 plays and hopefully you'll take a penalty or there'll be a turnover or some mistake is going to trip you up in addition to maybe I'll make a play at some point if I make you, you know, drive 80 yards in 12 plays. You know, you score an 87-yard touchdown on the first play and you're just ripping off swaths of yardage. It's going to be hard to stay in that. But I think almost irrefutably the way the Bills have played defense has worked for them. They do. I think they do it the right way because there are fewer teams in the league that can do what Baltimore did last night and what they want to do. So, you know, you go in and you hope for the best. I mean, you hope you guys win some matchups. Hope you get a couple of mistakes and catch a couple breaks. I know I'm talking like you go into a game where you end up, it's not like you don't have a chance, but I wouldn't change how the Bills play defense. At all, because it has served them very well. This team could be a big problem for them come January, and we'll see what they do to respond to it if they end up drawing that matchup. But I don't know, man. I just wouldn't want to. It was ugly. They got abused. They got manhandled. I just don't think there's another team in the league that is capable of doing that. So you played them, and you got your ass kicked. Okay, who's next?
I kind of think the Jets should want to be that team, but Breece Hall just ran for 4 yards. So I'm not sure that's that scary either. Houston probably isn't. The first week, by the way, 5 completions last night by the Ravens, not 4. Aguilar had 2, Bateman, to non-running backs. Anyway, I'm not sure, like, Houston maybe could go either way. In week one, they gave Mixon the ball
39 times?
30 times.
30, okay.
I think it was. He was player of the week. Didn't really break anything, but they beat Indianapolis that way. But he's been hurt, and yesterday, Stroud threw for 345 against Jacksonville, and they've got what Houston really has at the high end is the big play strike capability with Stroud and Collins and Diggs and Dell. Like, they're going to try to hit home runs.
Sure, I think I'm gonna go into this game respecting that, and I'm gonna beg them to run it. because I think that's the smart way to approach playing a team that's built the way the Houston Texans are built. I respect Joe Mixon, but if you want to hand it to him 25 times,
okay,
instead of trying to throw it to Nico Collins over my head, I'm going to try to take that away because that is more dangerous.
But an earlier caller made the point that, like, this is on tape now. I mean, the Bills have been so good, and everybody watched this game last night and saw them just completely disassembled on defense. How? Derrick Henry and dump-off passes to Justice Hill, you know, and who knows who the Bills will play will be like, I can do that. I don't think I need Derrick Henry to do that. I certainly don't need, you know, not having Justice Hill should not be a problem. No offense. I mean, he did fine. Well, he looks fast, but
he's a guy.
So,
yeah,
that'll be interesting, like, right away this next game, if Houston wants to get at least a little bit away from what they do best. It's really fun. I mean, it's more fun to win, but you've got it's a great season already. The chess game stuff with running and passing, how that's changed. The Bills very much a part of that. Just another very light night for them through the air for Josh Allen. I mean, what, 130-something? Or what was it last night? Really low.
Oh, no. He got into the 200s, I think. My mistake.
I don't think he did.
No.
Higher than I said. 130 was 180.
180. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
The Dolphin number was like 139. That game, something like that. It's the third game. It's the third Trubisky game in a row. Like there's not been a fourth quarter yet in a while here.
Yeah.
Weeks 2 and 3, easy wins, and then last night the other way. Samuel was interesting. We've got a call earlier on Samuel, and I heard other people talking about him this morning. Like, just, are they using him the way they want to be or that they should be? I mean, it's just very little, and it's, you know, around the line of scrimmage. I think that was probably the plan. I mean, but that's easy to say. It's what they're doing. But, you know, you lose one and you score 10 points. And maybe it's a little lazy or too easy, but I'm right to where is anything threatening? You know, if Cook, who I think is fine, again, I use the same word, okay, like, he's not Derrick Henry. You know, he's not somebody that really should affect your game plan as a defense. It's all about Allen. And if the Bills are not going to stretch it with Kincaid or Samuel, I guess, and, you know, Mac Hollins or something is running downfield. Coleman is hit and miss. He's on the field a lot. Just don't know what it really is. And if you get run over, in this game, then you're in trouble.
It's really stark to me that their passing game, really, the dangerous-looking plays in the game were two back-shoulder throws to Coleman. And, like, great. It's good to have in your arsenal, but I don't want that to be, like, the thing that I do, best or well, really. I mean, be good at it, but you need way more than that. And then the busted play to Shakir. Like, that was my passing game last night, really. I mean, right. What is that, 50 yards to Shakir? The two to Coleman were 20 each or so. I mean, there's 90 of your 180 right there.
Yep, at least. Let's get John in quickly. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So one thing I wanted to bring up is that it seems like we're losing a starter on defense just about every game so far this season. And then if you include Milano from preseason, it seems to be a concerning trend if that continues. I know the Bills are suited well in terms of next man up, but that seems to be a concerning trend that won't suit us well going down the road so far this season.
Well, yeah, I would agree. You know, your guys go down, it shouldn't be a good thing. They've been able to overcome it entirely until last night when, you know, the floor gave out against the Ravens.
At least Bernard should be back this week. We'll have to be very touch and go on Taron Johnson. McDermott said as much today, right? Bernard, he expects to practice. The fact that he was practicing last week in a non-contact jersey, but still was very encouraging. Johnson hasn't had even that yet, and McDermott said, you know, it's just going to be touch and go whether or not they can get him on the field for practice at all.
Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. This is WGR. Bulldog, got to throw a lineup question at you. I know you know a lot. Avid interest in NFL action.
Yeah.
I have Geno.
Love it.
And I have JSN. But it would mean putting him in would mean taking Achan out. And I think maybe I want to try to, I'm behind in this game.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that?
Don't take Achan out.
I mean, if Geno Smith has a big game, JSN a part of it, I don't know. Maybe I can get there. But I'm down by 97. Actually, you know what? Never mind. 97
points.
I did actually make that move. That was a setup. Long game. 97 points. Yeah. What would that be? Let me think. Geno Smith.
I've got Gibbs and the Miami defense tonight. And we're losing 153-72.
Not even as bad. 81 points. Now, see, you hear my situation. Maybe you feel better about your team.
Yeah. Oh, we are in big trouble over at Tunsil's Gas and Mask HQ.
It's another one of these weekends where I think anybody who plays a lot just asks themselves all the questions about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice was the best thing about fantasy football this year so far because he went in the mid rounds because, he's going to get suspended or Marquise Brown or Worthy, you know? Mm-hmm. But none of that came to fruition, and he was just like as close to a sure thing as there is in fantasy. Yesterday, he gets hurt on a fluke play, didn't catch a pass either, like nothing right from him yesterday, and maybe lost for the season. And you just go like, well, why do I bother?
Taken out by his own quarterback chasing an interception.
Yeah.
That's a tough way to go.
So tough.
Yeah.
I mean, in managed leagues, this happens, of course, all the time, and you just go get somebody else and try to make it work. But this, you know, the onslaught of action in the best ball space over the course of the summer, can't do anything about it. So those were my favorite teams, were Rashee Rice teams. Andrews literally does not catch a pass anymore.
Nope.
You know, tight ends are just impossible. It's terrible. Only George Kittle, I believe, through 4 weeks has more than one touchdown catch for a tight end.
Yeah, Cal Pitts went zeros yesterday.
Pitts had a zero. Andrews had another zero, right? We've got games tonight, but it's just you have these moments where, like, why do I even play?
Yeah.
Because it is so much. Injuries and randomness can really wear you out. I don't know. All right, I'll take your advice. I'll put Achan back in. I'm not going to get 97, am I?
I don't think you're going to get 97, no.
Achan's a guy who might be able to put up, like, 40.
Yeah.
He's done that.
All right.
I'll take it. I'll take 40.
Then you need 57
from Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
Naked. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. If you would like to get something about last night's Bills loss off your chest, 803-0550 is the number here. We'll be right back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.